This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
It hit 113 degrees in Los Angeles yesterday. A driver on a cell phone plows into a cop on I-205, and the Salem City Council gives final approval to chickens.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, September 28th, 2010. A man talking on his cell phone drove into the back of an Oregon State Police car Tuesday morning. The lieutenant was southbound on I-205 this morning near Foster Road in an unmarked patrol car, according to OSP spokesman Lieutenant Greg Hastings. A southbound 1992 Toyota Camry crashed into the rear end of the police car, forcing it onto the center median grass. The officer was able to bring the car safely to rest on the inside freeway shoulder. Jerry Anderson, 70, of Portland, was cited for careless driving and operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile communication device. Neither driver was seriously injured. Both drivers were using seat belts, and both vehicles were driven from the scene. Portland police investigated the accident, Hastings said. Anderson told police he was distracted and not focusing on traffic ahead of him.
Well, at least old people have got a different excuse now, so they no longer have to claim the accelerator stuck, which is never true. It is never the case. The accelerator didn't stick. The brake didn't fail to function properly.
You were just old and stupid, and you pushed the wrong button.
I don't even know that it's stupid. I think that there's just something. I think that there's some sort of weird, I don't know, some kind of a, some sort of a Mobius strip that happens in your brain, where as you reach the end of your life, you begin to discard knowledge that you didn't need at the beginning of your life.
Yeah.
You know, because if you meet an old person, they basically, they're able to sort of gum their food, and they're able to kind of excrete the food later on, and then they can sort of stare blankly at the television, and they can yell. And they can yell they can yell long, and they can yell loud and hard. They can yell from sun up to sundown.
And often what they yell about is the fact that things don't make sense anymore.
Exactly.
Like,
and that nobody.
What's with all the damn buttons on this toaster oven?
And that nobody pays attention to them, that nobody will satisfy their needs, and that they don't like the food they're being served. In essence, all the same things they were complaining about when they were young. And so, but as an adjunct to that, sort of as a corollary to that, as our British friends would say, just begin to discard things that they didn't need when they were children, like how to drive a car, or, maybe just how to press the brake occasionally. So does the law actually say, and it sounds like it does, it says mobile communications device?
Apparently so, yes.
All right. Well, I was going to say that at least clarifies things, but it doesn't clarify anything, because that could be the radio in your car.
Well, yeah, but I, yeah.
I know
but
what
I think
they
it's
mean.
More complicated than that, though.
I mean, I understand what the law is supposed to say. Do they mean cell phones, or do they?
Well,
do they mean iPods?
I don't think does a radio really, is it classified as a communication device?
How is a radio different from a phone except that it's one way?
That's exactly how it differs from a phone. It's one way.
But what's the difference?
Well, if it's one way, it's a broadcasting device. It's not a communication device.
I'm saying, in terms of operating your car, what's the difference?
The difference is you can't talk into the radio. Okay. I mean, you can.
I'm not asking.
But no one can hear you.
I'm not asking you the difference in how they work. I'm saying in terms of how it affects the driver. Like, in other words, if for the purposes of this law, which is to keep people safe by not having them distracted by electronic devices,
yes.
Like, what's the functional difference in that sense between a radio and an iPod or a phone? They're all the same thing.
There's no difference in that it's also illegal for you to have, like, headphones on or earbuds in and listening to an iPod or something while you're driving, because that will...
And yet you're allowed... Well, then why are you allowed to use a Bluetooth?
Because they sort of erroneously still believe that as long as you don't have to, like, avert your eyes every few seconds. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why they think that... Because studies have shown that you are just as distracted while talking on a Bluetooth as you are holding the phone up to your ear. It's still using your brain in such a way that it does distract you from... necessary brain functions for operating your...
I only ask because
You're asking in a semantic sense, simply...
I'm not asking in a semantic sense, though.
Well,
I'm just asking...
You were arguing about the word communication.
Only one of us can be angry at a time, and right now it's going to be me. You'll be the mellow one today, and that's just going to have to be okay. I guess what I'm saying is when I'm driving along and I have an iPod, which is also a phone... If I am, in fact, not using it for the phone function, if I'm just using it as an iPod, I wonder if I'm going to get popped by the cops for that. So if I'm not on the phone, but if I'm holding the phone in my hand because I'm advancing from track 5 to track 6, on a virtual CD that I'm listening to, then I always think, well, is the cop going to bust me for holding the iPhone in my hand even though I'm actually using it to listen to music? And the cop would say, well... you're distracted. And I would say, well, it's not a phone. And he would say, well, but you're still distracted by it. And I would say, how is picking this up? And the whole conversation with the cop in my head is already planned out. I know exactly every twist and turn it will take. And then I think, well, what is the difference between hitting advance on an iPod and changing the station on your radio? That's why I asked about the radio. Because the next step will inevitably be that you are not allowed to use, like, an iPod or whatever while you're driving. You will have to have a voice-activated thing for your radio, which do exist. So my whole thing is to go through the day without getting a ticket, and without being beaten by police officers by the side of the road. So whatever I can do...
That's a valid goal.
Anything I can do to sort of minimize that is going to be fine. All right, here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
The Los Angeles area had a record high temperature Monday of 113 degrees. Nearby resident Kathy Cordson says it's usually not this hot in September. It's usually not this hot ever. That's why it was a record high.
It usually is hot in September, but like in the 90s. But see, our summer, we didn't even have a summer weather. We had spring weather in the summer, which is the first time ever, too.
The average American. There you go.
Cordson says going outside was brutal.
It was like I opened up the door of an oven.
Okay.
That was it? That's her quote. It was like opening up the door of an oven.
That's her assessment. Not even like I was standing at the heart of a throbbing supernova. No, it was an oven. Let me just find the most obvious noun inside my house that I can...
It was like I opened up the door of an oven.
Okay. More than that, though, the humidity. You're listening to Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. Don't forget, you can also get this on your mobile device in defiance of the law at mobile.pdx.fm. Mobile.pdx.fm. It's available later on today via iTunes as well, which you can listen to on your iPod, which is part of your iPhone. In defiance of the law. You can also download it if you like as a direct MP3 file from pdx.fm or from Legion of News. .com. Still to come this hour, we have Science on the March and Entertainment News. This is Don Taylor.
Help me find my happy place.
I'm sorry? Are we...
I know.
What are we talking about right now?
I need you to help me find my happy place. I was driving in this morning, and I just started getting anxious, and I just got very angry at the radio, and now I just got really, really angry at that woman in that sound bite, and way out of proportion to how I normally am.
Here's the thing. You know I'm not the radio or the woman in Los Angeles, right?
I know. I'm not angry at you. I'm really not angry at you.
I'm just saying. You seemed on edge from, like, the instant you walked into the studio today. You're doing that thing.
Yeah.
Typically, And just so everybody knows, just so you don't think that there's some sort of like, so you don't think that you're hearing some sort of like, you know, some like professional version of like a marital breakdown happening on the air or something. This is the sort of conversation that we would typically have during the Rick Emerson Show, which is a, it's a more footloose and fancy free program than this. We're a little more unpolished about things, if that's imaginable, in the second show, in the Rick Emerson Show. But so this is normally the kind of talk we would have then, but I'll just say now, just for everybody's edification, there are certain days when one of us will come in and it's like you're just in squiggle vision. It's like you're just sort of a blur. You know, like even when you're sitting there in the chair not really doing anything, you're just sort of vibrating back and forth with frustration and irritation and annoyance and anxiety about everything. Today is one of those days for you. Because you were doing the thing where as you were walking back and forth from the printer to the kitchen to your chair, you just kept going like, it's like you're a miniature Yellowstone and there are little geysers coming out of you all the time. Geysers of frustration and annoyance and tightly compressed wind. Mm. And you sort of do a, come on, and it's sort of like a really, it's like a really low-key breathy Tourette's made only of open-ended vowel sounds.
Nice.
So that is how I can tell that you're on edge certain days.
Mm.
Today being one of those days. Like when I do the thing I do 1,000 times a week, which is to ask you, you know, what is the deal with this story? And you like, I don't know, because I'm not a cop and I didn't manufacture the radio. Mr. Cock-a-doodle Dirty Bird. So that's all I'm saying. It's just one of those days.
Okay.
Not that I'm not zen with it. Rick Emerson is a professional, and he'll roll with the Taylor-esque punches as they come. I'm just making the observation, lest anybody wonder if there's any sort of, you know, some sort of an edge to the proceedings today. You're not alone in that assessment, my friends. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. This glory continues later on with the Rick Emerson Show. This is Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
I'll read this story because it'll make me happy.
Uh-huh.
It will.
What do I get if it doesn't? How much are you willing to wager on that? If it doesn't make you happy, what do I get to do?
I'll give you a shiny dime.
All right. I'll be satisfied with that, I suppose.
Manuel Vargas of Tampa, Florida, was killed in a gruesome gardening accident. The 44-year-old Vargas was part of a 5-man crew trimming trees on a suburban street. He was feeding branches into the chipper when a rope that had been used by one of the tree trimmers somehow slipped over his neck. Unable to reach the emergency shutoff button, Vargas desperately tried to avoid being dragged headfirst into the machine, where he would have been chopped to bits. According to his boss, Dwayne Wilson, the force of the rope looped around his neck was so great that he was decapitated.
Oh, so that's like a damned if you do, beheaded if you don't kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Ah, that's... It's terrible for him and for those close to him. For the rest of us, though, that's a little bit of extra color given to our day by the good Lord above.
Mr. Vargas was killed when a rope slipped around his neck and was fed into the churning mechanism of the wood chipper.
Oh, wow. Fed into the churning mechanism. Fed into its mechanical maw. Like so much lunchtime sustenance.
His boss, Dwayne Wilson, said, I heard a piece of metal and I ran to shut the machine down. And when I did, I looked and saw him on the ground. The force of the chipper pulling the rope, Miguel struggled against the rope trying to escape, but was decapitated.
Hey, you guys, did anybody else hear a sound that sounded a lot like Miguel being fed into some sort of churning, chopping mechanical device and then liquefied? Maybe just me? Okay.
Wilson said Vargas's screams were drowned out by the noise of the chipper.
Oh, God. Wow.
He said he hit the emergency stop button after hearing the metal clip of the rope grinding against the chipper blades, but by that time, Vargas was dead.
I don't know, I'm trying to eat here, but I keep hearing something. It's like a... Like a sort of a squishing with sort of a zelp? Is somebody hearing somebody? Is somebody yelling zelp? No, I guess not. That would be weird.
Did anyone hear Manuel say, aye? Yes.
Jesus. All right. When the guy created the wood chipper, when the wood chipper was first rolled off the assembly, I mean, the first one was available for purchase, I don't think anybody could have anticipated the number of times on this show alone that the wood chipper has appeared just to put a little spring in our step, you know? Just to make the air for everybody who's not Mr. Vega. Mr. Vega died so that we might value our own lives and our own laughter just a little bit more.
Yeah, God help me, I love a good wood chipper story.
Why was there a rope looped around the wood chipper and the branches anyway? Like, what would that even be there for? That just seems foolish. I'm trying to imagine
this.
I don't know.
One of the tree trimmers was using a rope for something, I guess. I mean, sometimes you do that. You tie off.
Like maybe to keep Manuel ropes. From agitating about unionization, huh?
Well, also to keep ropes from just falling down on people. Sometimes they'll.
Didn't sound like that worked.
No, it didn't work in a lot of ways.
Seems like that may have had the opposite effect, actually.
Yeah.
The sum there may not have been what they thought it was going to be.
Interestingly, I have both Wood Chipper and Decapitated set as Google alerts for news stories.
Awesome.
And this was a bonanza.
Fantastic. Hey, this is a good time to talk about the cleaning solution. Let's say your place of business, you have, I don't know, for reasons that maybe you don't anticipate when you get out of bed in the morning, you have a little bit of a stain that needs to be removed. You know, you don't want to do that yourself. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that is so. You can call Mr. Michael Betty. Let that be his problem. Have him come do a little manual cleaning at your office. It's 971-533-3211. That's how you can... Manual cleaning, not automatic.
Right.
971-533-3211. 971-533-3211 is how you contact Mr. Michael Betty, the cleaning solution. And he will come and he will expunge all of the various filths and stains from your carpet, your upholstery, linoleum, hardwood flooring, tile, marble, anything like that. So 971-533-3211 is how you contact him to find out more. You can keep your carpet, you can keep your house, keep your apartment, keep your place of business looking just as good as the day you moved in. And, of course, he can also put you on a maintenance program. And what that does is it keeps it looking good for the foreseeable future. And it's cheaper, too. So once he gets it back to zero, as they say, looking the way it did when they first put it in, you get on a maintenance program, it's going to cost you like 40% of what it would cost to have him come in every couple of years and just clean it all the way. So contact him. Tell him you want to have him come out and clean your place of business or your place of residence, and you appreciate his support of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. That's 971-533-3211. Here's Don Taylor.
The Salem City Council has given final approval to a measure that will allow Salem residents to keep chickens in their backyards. The vote Monday night was 7-2. The change would allow residents to keep as many as 3 hens, but no roosters. Owners would pay a $50 license fee. The Statesman Journal reports the backyard chicken coop issue has been before the council a dozen times in 2 years. The new chicken rule will take effect January 1st.
Why no roosters? Is it because they crow? Do chickens not crow?
No, chickens just kind of cluck and squawk.
Okay, so they don't want to be waking people up, which is the thing that actually happens. I sort of assumed that was one of those mice eat cheese things. That isn't really true. That only exists in cartoons.
No, they do.
Goddamn! I remember having my one of my corpulent cousins when I was, and then I just have this whole family just filled with like weebelows, basically. No, not weebelows, weebles. Who are the scouts and who are the things that don't fall down?
Weebelows are the scouts. Weebles don't fall down.
I mean, I guess it's possible. It is theoretically possible that there are certain weebelows that don't fall down either.
Right.
I mean, I guess if like, you know, depending, like if you don't have any legs or anything, I guess then there's nowhere to fall to.
No.
Doesn't really matter. The point is that when I got packed off to my cousin's farm when I was a kid, and it was one of those things that I'd only ever experienced in the movies, and then I'll be goddamned if like about 5:30, like a rooster at my window just starts screaming. And you hear it like on television or something, or in a cartoon, and it's sort of charming, and it's quaint, and it's rural, and it's countryfied, and it's just plain folks. It's just terrifying in the morning. It's unnerving. I mean, it's loud. You don't really... If for a tiny animal with like a real miniature thorax and diaphragm, they can make a hell of a lot of a noise. You don't really appreciate that until it's, you know, like 5 feet away or something.
And then there's the times that they bamboozle a chicken hawk into helping them torture your dog with a large board and an anvil.
Yes, there's that as well.
You don't want that going on in Salem.
Hey, did you watch Eastbound and Down?
I did.
Okay, so we'll talk about that
next
hour. All right. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Dan Aykroyd visited State Line Liquor in Jansen Beach yesterday and autographed bottles of his vodka, Crystal Head Vodka. The Ghostbusters star has been in the distilling business for 7 years and said that the Crystal Head was made with water from a deep aquifer in Newfoundland, Canada. Aykroyd said that the mystery of the crystal skulls is embodied in many ancient civilizations. We're talking about healing positive energy here, he said, so we don't put any junk in the bottle.
Just regular vodka.
The spirits are triple crystal filtered through Herkimer diamonds, which according to New Age belief systems embody positive energy and goodwill. The smaller bottles run about $50, or it's $100 for the life-sized crystal skull bottle, which there is a picture of that right there for
you. Okay, well, it's kind of cool looking. I'll give him points for that.
And it would have been cool. I still probably wouldn't have spent $100 on it, but it would still have been cool to, like, get one of those with Dan Aykroyd's, you know, autograph on it.
It'd be a lot cooler if he hadn't opened his mouth and started talking about it.
That too.
There was this time when I had sort of convinced myself that Dan Aykroyd was not really a crazy, like, nutcase conspiracy theorist. Or that it was just, you know, that it was like a, it was sort of a charming quirk. It was an amusing affectation that he had, maybe just like, you know, like to help promote Ghostbusters or something. But then, like, the more you hear him talk, the more you realize, like, that is his deal. He just is one of those, you know, he's just one of those guys. That is, in its own way, that is just as annoying as hearing Natalie Maines run her mouth, you know, about politics all the time. It's just, you know, you just kind of want to, just make me laugh, fat man. Just dance
just set
for
up
me.
And do the comedy, man.
Seriously, make Ghostbusters 3. Quit talking. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
A Boise, Idaho man is in jail after police say he tried to take pictures under women's skirts on Sunday. Mario Esquivel Jimenez, 40, is charged with video voyeurism, which is a felony. According to officers, he was trying to take pictures at a Walmart on Saturday afternoon. At least two women confronted him and then got store managers involved.
Of all the stores in all the world where you're trying to photograph under somebody's skirt, to do that at a Walmart.
Jimenez was detained until Boise police arrived and arrested him. It's a felony, said Lieutenant Steve Myers with the Boise police. It's a fairly new law in the books that was created to meet the needs of an ever-changing technology in society. So we do use it quite a bit. It's just one of those things that happen as times change. People take advantage of cell phones to capture video that they should not be.
You know, my whole thing is that it's just a matter of time before they create some sort of a, like an actual X-ray camera thing for your iPhone. I mean, doesn't it seem like that should be 5 years away, maybe?
Well, we did the story a week or so ago that they've got, that scientists are figuring out how to, like, see through opaque stuff.
That's right. And, you know, if you have like a thin summer dress backlit by the sun.
X-ray specs could be a reality in the near future.
Well, because they got the thing at the airport, and I don't even think that's a thing where you have to have the panel behind you. I think that thing where you walk through and they just look at your junk while you're going on the plane.
It sees all your bones and your the denser
things. It sees your business,
things.
Too.
Does it really?
It really does. Yeah. I've seen the, because that's the whole scandal about it, is that it's, you know, did you see the thing in Britain? They actually had to stop using it in Britain because they found out that it was running afoul of child pornography laws. It was letting people look at your child in the all together. So it seems like that's like an application that the average person will probably, that'll be like cell phones themselves, where they were huge and bulky and really, really expensive. But then like somebody just flipped a switch somewhere. It was like with radios. You remember like radios, like the old solid-state radios. They weighed like 1,000 pounds, and they were huge because everything was filled with tubes and whatever. I guess I'm talking about two different things with tubes and solid-state radios. But with the advent of the transistor, that's when radios like overnight just became tiny, and everybody could walk around the beach with one of those things jammed into their ear. It was that way with cell phones, too, where it's like they had the Motorola brick forever.
Yeah.
But then it was like a day and a half later, everybody had a miniature Nokia phone that was like, it was like, you know, it was like the size of a walnut, and you were carrying it around. It'll be that way with X-ray technology, too. It's like I'll just turn on the iPhone store, and it'll be there.
The interesting thing to me about the airport thing with the X-ray that they can see, the sort of shadowy
of your
version
bosoms.
of your body, it's always interesting to me. It's like, how big is your ego? How into yourself are you that you honestly believe? I mean, because when you, the shyness and really the outrage about anyone seeing your private parts and stuff is, of course, related to the idea that they are getting some sort of titillation out of it. So really, do you really believe that the airport security people who are watching everyone go through the thing are going to take some extra interest in what you've got going on under your clothes?
Are you saying this is really only a concern that the prettiest among us need to have?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, no, that's a fair point.
It's like, you know, it's not like they're singling you out because you're awesome to look under your clothes.
Well,
it's like you are one of 1,000 people who have wandered by and they've looked at for a second and a half.
But that's not the deal. See, that's where you're wrong, though. It's not that they're looking at you for a second and a half. It's that all those photos are stored in the machine.
Mm.
So if you walk by, and you know, it really is only an issue if you're really, really hot or really, really ugly.
Yeah. Because or
if you're
famous,
if you're notable in some way, you know, like if you're one of those Walter Hudson guys and they're having to bring you through in a forklift or something. I might scan that guy and then keep a wallet size of that just, you know, just to amuse my friends at parties. You know, and then if you're some especially buxom lady who comes through, it's that those photos stay on the machine, and although they initially said they could not be transferred, they then found out that they could be transferred. That was the whole deal that was happening in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So that's why, what's her name? Janet Napolitano, is that her name?
Yeah,
she's the Homeland Security chick. I was confused with the girl from Concrete Blonde. But that was the whole deal, is she was a big proponent of that idea. And then they released, A, the thing in Britain where guys were like, like women would walk through and guys would go, hey, fancy the route to that bird with the wonky, you know, or whatever they would say it in Brit. And then they would they would just download the stuff like onto a thumb drive and just take it home with them.
By the way, our friend Thomas Gill is on a tear today. He has had corrections for pretty much every single thing we've talked about so far today in the text box.
Let's just do this, though. Embracing a sort of all or none attitude.
That's why I'm not reading any of it. I'm just telling you he's basically everything we're saying is incorrect and needs correction and illumination today.
The sun gives us heat and helps sustain life.
Ha! Nothing so far.
In your face. I saw a great shirt the other day. It just said, it was a conflation of two phrases. Somebody wearing a shirt and it just said, so's your mom's face. I so desperately wanted to ask the guy where he bought it so I could own one. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, yay old Rick Emerson show will be on the air. Penis watch today. Snuff watch. And I think I know who we're talking about in terms of snuff watch.
Actually, it's a double snuff watch.
Really?
I've got two. Mm-hmm.
Is it two actresses playing the same dead woman?
No.
All right. Penis watch, snuff watch, clown watch. That was a little inside thing there.
Yeah.
We've got greatest songs.
I'm easily confused today.
Okay. I'll speak slowly. I'll have visual aids as we go on. I'll have a series of crudely drawn stick figures on postcards that I use to sort of hold up to illustrate them.
Act it out for me with puppets. That will make sense.
Also, we've got another installment of Pop Culture Authority. So that's all on the way today. We have Greatest Songs Ever Made, Pop Culture Authority, Penis Watch, Snuff Watch, Clown Watch, another use of our new online visual aid system. So that's all coming up. You're listening to Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
There's science on the march. Another opportunity to pass along disinformation and fallacies to
that's
a gullible public.
Right. Oregon researchers have been studying a large humpback whale that died and washed up on the coast near Newport just hours after they believe it was attacked by a group of killer whales. The 35-foot adult male humpback had rake marks and teeth marks on it, which appeared to match the telltale signs of killer whale attacks, according to Jim Rice of the Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport. Rice said researchers collected samples of the whale, took photos, and measured it. Then it was buried by Oregon State Parks. It had washed up near Lost Creek State Park, about 7 miles south of Newport. Rice said gray whales are the most common species spotted along the Oregon coast, and it's not unusual for a pod of killer whales to attack a young gray whale. But humpback whales are less common in that area, and it was unusual for killer whales to attack such a large humpback.
All right, now just sort of playing the contrary law here. I now feel obligated to correct you on behalf of our good friend Thomas, who's listening and probably screaming something in all caps into the text box about killer whales.
Actually, he was just apologizing. He said, it's been a while since I've been around to listen live. I'm sorry.
It's been a while since he's been exposed to our industrial-grade ignorance. And let's have no illusions about this.
No.
I'm under no impression ever that, like, even half of what we say is correct. So anybody who is using us as, like, an actual real news source, woe be unto you. You have chosen poorly.
We're back to the thing, though. We're talking about things, and you say something about the radio, and I look down, and it says, solid-state radios are transistors! I was like, okay, jeez.
Here's the thing about killer whales, though, and I did find this legitimately interesting. I did not know this, but apparently killer whales are in fact not whales. They are in fact dolphins.
Hmm.
Killer whales are a kind of dolphins, and it is actually not killer whales. That is actually, I believe,
misnomer?
Not an inversion, but a transposition of whale killers.
Yes, Thomas already said that.
Were you here 30 seconds ago when I said, as Thomas Gill said? How are you doing today, Don? On a scale of 1 to 3.
I thought you were kidding. I didn't know you realized he had actually going to do it.
I don't kid about science news as passed along by our chief engineer.
Okay. That's what he's saying. Just ask Rick. I explained it all to him in the past.
He did, as though I were a small underfed child. Only able to hold one thought in my brain at a time, which is really fairly close to the truth. No. So, by the way, just we should give a little bit of a backstory. We're doing a lot of this today. This is typically the kind of colloquial, loose banter that one finds on the Rick Emerson Show. Mm. So, Thomas Gill, in case you're wondering who that is, so he is. We credit him at the. You'll hear him in the closing credits of the show, where we acknowledge him for advanced technology and magic. So he is our sort of de facto and de jure chief engineer here, who got us off the ground and actually helps us keep this thing kind of running and stable and stabilized. But
he is a vast repository of knowledge.
But the thing is, like,
about all kinds of things.
Having a brain like the size of a planet, he's not always able to listen to us because he's off, I don't know, like doing tabletop fusion or whatever. So he's only able to listen to us live sometimes. And every time he hears us live after a protracted period of absence, it's like being re-injured in the brain all over again. It's like being re-injured in the knowledge center of his brain as he hears us just passing along willful ignorance to a public that swallows it whole. So, anyway, well, there you go. You're listening to Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
Recent world rankings show U.S. students falling behind in math and science compared to their peers in other countries.
But not compared to us. Compared to us, they're dead even.
President Obama says education reform is critical, and he says bad teachers need to be fired. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, says teachers should be praised for the work they're doing.
Most of them are incredible.
Oh, wow, she's speaking really softly. Hold on, I have to turn everything down now. Okay.
Most of them are incredible people. They dig deep into their pockets to help kids all the time with supplies. They're in schools early and in schools late. We need to help them do a great job with kids.
She sounds like the mom in Better Off Dead that you like raising.
Most of them are incredible people. They dig deep into their pockets to help.
All right. Well, this is the obligatory thing where we're supposed to talk about how, most teachers are great, but there's a few bad apples and they're really underpaid.
And she says making improvements is going to take a lot of hard work.
None of us can be happy with the status quo. We all have to be change agents, and we all have to step up and take more responsibility.
All right.
Change agents.
I don't disagree with any of this. And I'm, by the way, just to clarify, I'm not trying to be flip just now when I talk about, the required observation about teachers being underpaid and whatever. It's true. It's just one of those things that, like, you're obligated to say whenever you have a story, to say, well, that, you know, the misery is that our teachers and our schools are just underfunded. But it's like, but that's been the case, like, since time immemorial. Like, I don't remember a time when I was a kid, which is, let's have no illusions, but there's a long time ago. And I was going to a private school, by the way. I wasn't even going to a public school. And I was going to a private school, which means that private schools, even if they don't turn a massive profit, those schools are always allegedly more well-funded than public schools. And even there, it's like they just couldn't find textbooks. I had a textbook when I was in private school as a kid that said, "Someday man may step on the moon." And I remember looking at that in, like, 1982 and just going, like, what is going on? Where is that money going that I see my parents paying every month? So, I mean, yeah. I mean, teachers get the fuzzy end of the lollipop, and they get the shaft, and students get the shaft in return, and we get a progressively dumber society as a result of it. And then you get newscasters who don't know how the sun operates, and they think that, whale killers are killer whales, and then, you know, rinse, wash, repeat. But it's like, 'twas ever thus. I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm not sure, though, that the school systems... I really don't know. Are the schools really worse than they were before? I mean, the thing is, the reason we have public schools at all is so that people are literate, children in particular, can read and write, and then don't end up working in sweatshops. That's basically why we have public education.
Right.
Because
does it strike you that we're a country that's becoming more literate?
Not really, but we also seem to have this expectation that the public schools are required to make sure every student is college ready by the time they leave the system.
Well, we're getting into a whole thing here. This, I don't even know that we have time for this observation. We should almost revisit this next hour because I have many thoughts
all
about
right.
that.
I will put this in the next hour stack.
And it really is hard not to be cynical about it. And again, I have all the respect in the world for teachers. I really do. I won't say that I had any number of bad teachers, and I'm most of them. You know, teachers like anybody else. Few who are terrible, few who are great, and most of them are just sort of there. You know, they're just guys. You know, they're just somebody who goes there and it's their job, and they're just sort of in the middle ground, but. They're underfunded now, but it's like they've been underfunded for. They're underfunded, and they're going to continue to be underfunded.
Been underfunded.
Yeah, and they always will be because they can't be militarized. You know, like if we could find a way to weaponize American school teachers, they'd get all the funding in the world. But there's really just not much money to be made in teaching kids to be smart.
Well, then there was just Thomas Lauderdale just did a fundraiser for Jefferson High School. And they made a whole bunch of money, and that was going to go to Jefferson High School. And everyone's hooray! They're helping out Jefferson High School. Until, of course, people from other schools in the district start complaining, and it raises this entire question of whether or not public schools should be allowed to take fundraising dollars from private entities. And so now suddenly it becomes this whole thing. Now they're discussing, well, should all of that money actually go to Jefferson High School? Or should it be divvied up among all of the schools in the district? Because, you know,
next we can apportion the proceeds from a bake sale.
Yeah, and it's like even when somebody tries to help, it ends up just getting caught up in this ridiculous sort of political bureaucracy.
The moral, Dawn, is don't try.
Don't try. Just give up.
Or have Mark Zuckerberg just solve all your problems for you. Here at Legion of News, we want to welcome a brand new business partner. Speaking of guys who know stuff, because I myself am just I'm a vast reservoir of ignorance. Squires Electric is a brand new business partner here. First and foremost, you can find out more about them at squireselectric.com. And if it has to do with wires, it has to do with wiring in your home or your business. Because, I mean, look, here's the thing. Amps, or if it's something to do with voltages or milliwatts. That came out sounding dumber even than I intended it to. Because I think just a cursory listen to this show would indicate that I'm not somebody who should be allowed. I shouldn't even be able to touch the fuse box thing in my basement.
And you can't because there's a giant spider guarding it.
No, that's the thing. I'm not. I've been denied access to that area of the house. Here's the thing. I was actually when I was talking to Joe Squires about this. Here's the thing that never occurred to me, and this is why guys like Joe Squires, why Squires Electric exists and why they need to exist, because otherwise the whole world just becomes one big Darwin watch. You know what I never realized is that, and he mentioned this to me, and then I realized it was the case, and that I should have known it beforehand. He said that he gets a lot of business actually from people who will buy like a hot tub or a jacuzzi or something, and then they get it home and they realize you can't just like plug it into the wall. That they sort of just...
I guess I could see that, yes.
He said, well, people think they can just take it home and get like a power strip or something and just like stick the jacuzzi plug into the power strip. And I said, and I swear to God, I actually said this. I said, you can't? Like an idiot. And he said, you know...
And he looked sad for a moment.
He suppressed a smile, sort of politely. And he said, no, he said, it's a big tank of bubbling water. You probably don't want to just be leaning out and sticking the plug into the outlet. And I said... Well, learn something every day. So if it's electrical wiring, if it's wiring of any kind, Ethernet wiring, office intercom systems, if it's something that you know a little bit about, and if you're like me, you know that it works when you press the button. And if it stops working, or if you need to get it put in, you need to get it dealt with, repaired, taken out, replaced, maintained, that's when you call Squires Electric. It's 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. You can find out more at SquiresElectric.com. They've been here in Portland for 12 years. He actually grew up in Washougal. They do free estimates. No job too small, no job too large. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or your business, they can make your life easier and they can prevent you from becoming a news story on this program. So that right there, that's reason enough to pick up the phone. 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. A brand new sponsor here at Legion of News on PDX.FM, Squires Electric. Here's Don Taylor.
An armed man surrendered to police Monday night after a four-hour standoff in Sherwood. It started around 5:30 p.m. when the man made threats around his wife and daughter inside their home. Then the wife and daughter fled the house and someone called 911. The man was also threatening to kill himself and he was armed. Police evacuated nearby homes and began negotiating with the suspect. After about 4 hours, the man surrendered to police and was arrested. I don't know how you make threats around someone rather than at them or to them.
I don't know. I was busy being distracted by the fact that you called it 9/11.
Did I?
Yes. You just called 9/11. So then I just pictured, Alan Jackson just sitting there with a guitar out front and a stepladder.
A body found in the Willamette River near Portland Steel Bridge has been identified as that of a missing 51-year-old Portland man. An Oregon State Medical Examiner's Office identified the body found last Friday night as Craig Allen Maynard. Maynard had been reported missing to Portland police on September 20th. Police say he was considered to be a medically endangered person. Portland police detectives said Monday their investigation and the medical examiner's findings indicate Maynard's death did not involve any suspicious circumstances or foul play.
A medically endangered person. I wonder what that means. I mean, that doesn't mean crazy, because they just say crazy. I mean, that means, like, if he doesn't take his insulin, or he has to have nitroglycerin or whatever that stuff is. So, all right.
Yes.
Do you ever wonder about the thing of nitroglycerin, that you're supposed to take pills for that, but that's the same thing that blows up in cartoons?
Yeah, like if you had a bottle of nitroglycerin
pills,
you threw them against the wall, would they explode?
You know, you have to carry it in a special valise.
I do wonder about, or if you put it in your mouth and instead of letting it like melt in your mouth, like there's something, you chewed on it, you bit down on it, and just blew a big hole in the side of your face.
No, don't bite it!
Yeah.
Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News Desk. By the way, more of this wit can be heard if that's the sort of thing you feel like you might enjoy for some reason, at 1 o'clock over at rickemerson.com. Unbelievably, the Rick Emerson Show, just look away. Don't even look.
Somebody had the text said, no one calls it 9/11. I know that. I know no one calls it 9/11.
You should avert your eyes from the text box for the rest of the year.
I will.
Just minimize that. There
I'm
you
just
go.
Tilting it down.
I feel like you'd be better off if you did that sometimes.
If I didn't need to look at the clock, I would.
I got a clock right here, baby.
Yeah, but I can't see it from here.
Okay, here's the thing. I'll take care of all that for you.
But I have the run sheet, and I'm trying to stick to the schedule.
You let Ike watch the clock. Ike, watch the clock! Oh, I'm sorry. Ike, sorry, baby. If you'd like to hear more of this wit, you can do so on the Rick Emerson program. That's at 1 o'clock or shortly thereafter. We do a little musical interlude at the top of the hour. Rick Emerson Show comes your way later on the day with Penis Watch, Snuff Watch, Clown Watch. Also, another installment of Pop Culture Authority and another installment of The Greatest Songs Ever Made. You can listen to The Rick Emerson Show at rickemerson.com for just the low cost of 32 cents a day. Hardly seems believable. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment. Are you saying this isn't entertaining? Come on now. Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday.
This one's just for you.
Okay.
David Simon, the writer-producer of the TV dramas Homicide, The Wire, and Tremé, has been awarded a MacArthur Fellowship, also known as the Genius Grant, a $500,000 grant with no strings attached.
When it's a $500,000 grant with no strings,
right?
That's not a grant. That's the lottery.
Well, basically. But it is ostensibly they give it to people who do like interesting artistic things. Like I remember John Sayles got one. It's basically they're saying we trust you're going to do something artistically significant with this money.
Yeah, but
they don't. But they don't demand it of them.
It's not like a check that's already made out to a college, and so you have to spend it there.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're giving it to Simon, because a lot of times they do give it to people like John Sayles, like fairly early in his career.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you don't have to worry about money for a while.
Right.
So you can make, like, the movies you want to make. I don't think David Simon really needs to worry about money.
Well, he personally may not need to worry about money, but his shows, it's like he can just, you know, it's amazing anytime he gets a show on the air. And people will say, well, why is that? And it's because, really, with the exception of Homicide, which was a very watered-down version of, and which never had any ratings anyway. It's amazing that Homicide only ever stayed on the air because they couldn't find anything to replace it. And because the wife of the head of NBC loved the show, that's the only reason Homicide got to stay on, is because Brandon Tartikoff's wife was a huge fan. And she's like, Brandon, don't cancel Homicide. And he's like, okay. And so he left it on. But it's like The Wire, you know, which is arguably, as somebody once said, the greatest TV program since the invention of radio. You know, never had any viewers. We were talking about this actually at your birthday party.
Yeah.
Tremé didn't have any viewers. Generation Kill never had any viewers. So it's amazing anytime somebody gives him airtime. So maybe that's what that is. And maybe it's meant to indicate, maybe it's just meant to be sort of a priming the pump kind of a thing.
Well, it is. And it's they do this every year, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, which also gives a lot of money to like public broadcasting and stuff like that. And every year they give millions of dollars for this MacArthur Fellowship to a handful of people who are creative and innovative, just so they can continue being creative and innovative without having to worry about funding or loans or paying their bills. Simon, on the phone from New Orleans to a news organization, said, I confess to a feeling that I can only describe as a vague sense of shame. It was exacerbated when I went online and looked at the people who'd gotten fellowships in the past. The majority of them are involved in endeavors which are very tangible, efforts to combat poverty or economic disparities or to improve the environment. And while I think storytelling is a meaningful way to spend your life, it does feel a little bit secondary or off point. I definitely felt a little sheepish after looking at the list.
Wow, that's strange coming from David Simon, and I mean this in the best way, because he's just a dick. He's just a huge, and I really do mean that in the best way, that he is a headstrong individual, as any interview with him will attest, as Peter Carlin will attest. Did I tell you the story about how David Simon confronted him at a party?
No.
I don't know if I should say that publicly.
Tell me later.
I'll tell you next hour. Yeah. I'll tell you next hour because that is not because next hour is the place for the dishing of dirt. We shouldn't do that in this. We're newscasters, Don.
Yes,
we're journalists.
We're journalists.
In any event, that's cool though. I'm glad he got that.
He's one of 23 fellows, so-called geniuses, whose names are not always recognizable to people outside their fields. Others include Annette Gordon Reed, Harvard historian and author of the Pulitzer-winning The Hemingses of Monticello, An American Family, and theater director David Cromer, who is going to mount a Broadway revival of Sweet Bird of Youth with Nicole Kidman next year.
You're right. I don't know who any of those other people are. So, all right.
Chat show host Jay Leno has angered Ireland. We have audio. Here's a little bit from.
Is this from Britain?
His show. What do you mean?
That you said chat show.
Yes,
host.
I got
is this
the,
a story.
I got the story from Britain.
All right,
yes,
okay.
Talk show host Leno.
So he's angered the Irish.
He's angered the Irish, and this is from his show.
I mean, does it seem like it takes a
this
whole lot to anger the
a
Irish?
Little game he plays with his audience on his show, and here we have the audio.
It's called bartender, politician, or comic. Let's play the game. I'm going to show you a picture. Look at that guy. How many think he's a bartender? How many think he's a politician? How many think he's a nightclub comedian? Let's see what he does. He's the Prime Minister of Ireland! Brian Cowan, Prime Minister of Ireland. Oh, God. It's so nice to know we're not the only country with drunken morons, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's so nice to know we're not the only country with drunken morons, isn't it? He said of the Prime Minister of Ireland. He's been condemned in Dublin by the head of the Communications Committee, MJ Nolan, who says it's obviously a very popular program in the States, and it's not the type of publicity we want for us in the current climate when we're trying to do everything to improve our image internationally. In recent weeks, improving Ireland's international appeal seems to have been little importance to the Prime Minister was accused of being intoxicated during an interview on the country's prestigious national broadcast show, Morning Ireland. He admitted afterward he needed to be more cautious in his social life, but strongly denied he was drunk or hungover during the interview. And so apparently this isn't the sort of publicity that Ireland needs right now.
I just sort of assume kind of that world leaders are either drunk or doped up all the time anyway. And I'm not just talking about Boris Yeltsin, because he's the guy, he's sort of the gold standard there. Everybody goes right to him. But I figure that if you are, I mean, here's the only difference probably between us and Ireland right now, is that, you know, because we're a superpower and because we have access to, I would say, superior science and technology here in these United States, I would say that Barack Obama probably gets loaded all the time just because how could you not? You're the president and, like, everybody's, like, riding your ass about everything and, like, why isn't everything magically fixed a year later or whatever? And you're just like, God, if I had to deal with these morons one more, you know, maybe Barack needs a drink, you know, and then she fixes him a double and whatever. And then a double becomes a triple but the difference is that when you're Barack Obama and you quite justifiably decide to get schnocked every night because your constituency is largely made up of idiots, that there's some guy, some doctor on staff who comes into your office with his magical black medical bag and he opens it and he takes out a syringe and he says, all right, Mr. President, you're going to feel a little twinge and then you're going to feel awesome. And he gives you an injection, and then it's like Barack is back at 100%. I just assume, don't you, that like when you become president, you have access to some secret drug that just keeps you awake all the time and working?
Well, yeah, and I've always thought it would be sort of like in the 70s when people went to like the so-called Dr. Feelgoods and they would get an injection of
vitamins. Yeah.
And yeah, it was vitamin B12, you know, and
Speed. Have some vitamin B, and the B is for Benzedrine.
And you got to figure that, you know, given if you're the president in particular, you know, you're doing like, you know, 20-hour days.
Yeah. Well, that's why they look so exhausted at the end of their term. They haven't slept. I mean, literally, They probably haven't slept. It's like when you become president, I assume that there's a few things that happen. They give you, you know, security codes, and you get the, what do they call it, the launch codes for the nuclear football the guy carries around. There's somebody who sits you down and they says, look, here's the deal. There is no Area 51. There is an Area 75, though, and that's where everything is. And then also he says, by the way, and this is Dr. Rabinowitz, and anytime you feel like you might need to sleep, you call him and he'll take care of that.
And when you need to have, when you need to wake back up, he'll take care of that,
yeah,
too.
That's what I'm saying.
Interesting that there was a piece that I saw this morning. It was a little bit in the Onion, titled "U.S. Government Opens Special 5,000-Acre Area Where Americans Can Go Blow Off Steam," saying that they'd opened a national park where people could go smash rows of televisions with a bat, or just scream at the top of their lungs into a canyon or something. Just because this is the kind of recreation that Americans need in this economy. And it ended with them saying, "Opening day also included an unscheduled appearance by President Obama, who calmly entered the park, let loose a furious stream of undiluted profanity, punched several trees for 55 minutes, and then returned to Washington."
Awesome. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM, brought to you by, among other folks, Castalia Language Center. They are a language center based in downtown Portland, Oregon, a language school where you can learn Spanish as an adult. That means that it's not going to be a place where you're shoulder-to-shoulder with the young people, with children and teens, because you just learn differently as you get older. And they keep class sizes down to a maximum of 8 people. There's no more than 8 people in any class.
Oh,
and you say to yourself, by God, well, then it must fill up immediately. And the good news is they have classes all different days, all different hours, so they can work with your schedule as well. If you say, look, it's got to be mornings, or it's got to be afternoons, or Wednesdays aren't so good for me, or I could never get the hang of Thursdays. Doesn't matter. They'll find something that works for you. And if you are a beginning Spanish language speaker, intermediate, or if you are an advanced Spanish language speaker, then they can find something that works with your schedule. It's PortlandSpanish.com is how you find out about them. PortlandSpanish.com. Clara Grebel is from Argentina. She's a native Spanish speaker, of course, and she's the one who owns and operates Castalia Language Center, who are a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Once again, here is Dawn Taylor.
Last comic standing comedian Greg Giraldo was in critical condition after suffering an accidental drug overdose over the weekend. A fellow comic told E! News that Giraldo had recently split with his wife. They have 3 children together. Giraldo is also known for his work on Comedy Central's various roasts and his appearance on Howard Stern's Daily Radio Show. The comic was scheduled to perform Saturday night at the Stress Factory in Brunswick, New Jersey, but instead was found unconscious by paramedics at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. And I was trying to figure out if there was any kind of an update on that, and there doesn't.
I'm not even sure I know
yet
who he is. I mean, I know you described all the stuff he's done, but I...
Yeah, he's that guy.
Oh, I do know. Okay, yeah. I know.
No, he's very funny.
I know that
very
guy funny from the roast. That would be the only place I really know him from.
Yeah, he's a recovering alcoholic, and I don't, you know, and again, he was found in a hotel room unresponsive, and as of this morning, he was in critical condition.
All right. Don't forget, Rick Emerson, the Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock the day. We have the Penis Watch, Snuff Watch, Clown Watch, another installment of Pop Culture Authority. What is today's Pop Culture Authority going to answer, Don?
Well, if I actually get it written in between the shows, because I'm behind on everything, it's going to
be... The odds makers take a beating.
It's going to be, what makes a television season? When do they start? When do they end? How long have we had the current time?
You don't really know
season
what the question is, do you?
I do know what the question is. I just don't know how to boil it down in right now. Have I disappointed you? Have I made you sad?
I'm not disappointed so much as I
later
am. Never mind. Well,
not
in
the
any
face
event.
Not in the face.
Okay. If you're not a subscriber to The Rick Emerson Show, you can subscribe for the low cost of 32 cents a day over at rickemerson.com. Or you can do this. You can leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. And later on this week, in fact, I think today is the last day. Today is Tuesday. Today is the last day for this month. Later on this week, we will be announcing the winners of the Emerson Grant for September. That is 10, and at this point, 9, because we've given one away already. 9 lucky folks who each receive a one-month subscription to the unbridled glory that is the Rick Emerson radio program. So you leave us a voicemail of no more than 2 minutes in length explaining why you or somebody you know wants a subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. Or you can send us a limerick or haiku. That's Dawn, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. That's provided by our good friends at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. Let's do like one more here, and then we will wrap this up for today.
Oh, okay.
Are we in entertainment news still? Or are we
Let's
leaving
get out the... of the entertainment
All
news
right,
because there was something I should have covered earlier that I didn't. It's kind of a downer to go out of the show on. But a gunman opened fire this morning inside a University of Texas campus library, then fatally shot himself. And police are looking for a possible second suspect. Man fired an automatic weapon on the sixth floor of the Perry Castanet Library early Tuesday and subsequently shot himself. He is deceased, they said. Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo told a news conference that police are also investigating what he described as a second crime scene outside the library where shots were also fired.
Well, no,
fired.
Wait. Now, so he killed him. Was anybody killed? I mean, other than him? I'm missing whether or not he shot anybody other than himself.
I don't believe he killed anyone else. He did fire a gun inside the library, but then shot himself.
Oh, so there you go. So it's only a relative downer.
Yeah.
You know.
No. It's only him, really.
I mean, seriously, one less guy to go shooting in the future.
I mean, you know, yeah, he's not Charles Whitman.
No, but he's at the same school.
Maybe
I'd be looking for Indian burial grounds if I were them. I mean, it's just my theory. All right, let's bring a curtain down on this. That's another exciting installment of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday from noon until 1 p.m. right here from the studios of the Emerson News Network, and is heard on PDX.fm, also on iTunes, and is a direct download here at PDX.fm or at legionofnews.com. We are here from the Emerson News Network headquarters high above the Milkpacking District in beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic provided by Thomas Gill. Our executive producer is Bruce Agler, and Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next on most of these Emerson News Network stations. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. This has been
Legion of News on PDX.fm.